groceries and fuel dollars are pouring into rural Alaska from as far away as New York and New Zealand. Village residents say the aid will make a big difference this winter, and they want the new awareness of the crisis to spur a state and even worldwide discussion on long-term economic solutions for the region. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
Thousands of pounds of food aid started arriving in Western Villages last month. It's come from individuals who pack everything from diapers to spaghetti in small boxes. And it's come from big organizations like the Christian group Samaritan's Purse.
Wanted to bless you guys with this food.
Bringing it up.
Thank you.
I'm going to help out, all right.
On a recent afternoon, pilot Andy Cizik delivered a dozen boxes to Clark's Point, a tiny village on a narrow spit off of Bristol Bay. The weather was especially bad, with small white pellets hitting the plane. So this was a quick stop.
How was the flight?
Oh, just lovely.
All right. They're saying, boy, it's starting to ice or something.
Yeah, we need to get out of here as soon as we can. We don't want to ice up the plane.
On the same day, Cizik also delivered boxes to Pilot Point, where Victoria Briggs met the plane.
I can't say anybody's starving, but I can tell you that people are going without.
Briggs says the flood of support from the outside world has been incredible. She wrote a letter in early February to the Bristol Bay Times explaining the dire situation many families faced in her area. It was a follow-up to similar pleas that came from residents in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Briggs says bloggers picked up the story from there.
We laugh, but it's on the net, and it's a lot of people in their PJs who give a darn. They're just bloggers who caught hold of a story, who packed up, spread the word, and put things in flat rate boxes and said, give us a list and we'll go shopping for you. And they took us under their wing and have taken care of us.
Pilot Point doesn't have a store, so all the groceries arrive by mail at a hefty premium. Fresh fruits and vegetables are hard to come by. Residents usually fill their freezers with wild game, but Briggs says hunters didn't have much success this year.
We exist a lot on a lot of the moose or caribou, and that we got nothing this year. So the freezers are low. You know, they're not empty, but they're very low, and that's very common.
And then there's the price of fuel. Briggs says she spent $22,000 last year to heat and power her 1,000-square-foot home. Many residents make a living commercial fishing, but Briggs says two-thirds of the salmon run didn't materialize last summer. Anne Stronghart is from the village of Nunamiqua. The community is hundreds of miles from Pilot Point on the western edge of the state, but the story is much the same. The fish didn't show up last year.
I only know of one of our 10 fishermen here in the village, commercial fishermen, that actually made a profit last year. Everybody else lost money.
Gas and heating fuel cost more than $7 a gallon in Nunamiqua. Earlier this winter, Stronghart started calling around to check on her neighbors. She says she found it wasn't just her family that was struggling.
I didn't realize how bad it was until I talked to a couple families. Some of the parents were going without so that their kids could eat, and they were very happy that their kids were in school because they knew at least they were getting breakfast and lunch at school.
Now that food aid is arriving and families are filling their cupboards, Stronghart and Briggs are focusing on finding answers to the economic problems plaguing rural Alaska. Briggs says there has to be a way for villages to make it without handouts.
Donations are not the long-term, and we realize that. We all realize that. So it's a matter of what we can do to figure this out.
Briggs and Stronghart are teaming up to start an internet dialogue to generate potential solutions for the villages. They have a long list of ideas that includes exploring ways to find better markets for Bristol Bay and Yukon River salmon. They also want to bring grocery stores to every village that needs one, and they'd like to grow more local food. One idea both are resistant to is a concept Governor Sarah Palin brought up at a recent press conference. She encouraged rural Alaskans to consider taking jobs away from their villages.
It requires, in some cases, leaving the village for a short time, perhaps, with seasonal work or with shift work, either on the slope or in mining operations or in the fishery industry. We can help with providing food and providing fuel. But in a cash-based society, there needs to be income also in these communities. There needs to be some economic vitality. The only way that happens is for people to know that there are job opportunities, to get to work, and make sure that that is part of the solution here.
Victoria Briggs says many of the residents who can leave for work already do. But she says it's not an ideal situation for families who then have to struggle with a one-parent household for weeks or months at a time. Anne Stronghart says there are better ways to infuse cash into rural communities.
we're trying to come up with long-term solutions to keep this type of crisis from happening in the future. I really don't agree with telling us to leave our native lands and seek work elsewhere and to just move.
For Strongheart and Briggs, the bottom line is that they want to find a way for every family in rural Alaska to have a shot at making a good living while enjoying their culture and subsistence way of life. They think it's a realistic goal, and they want as many people as possible to join in the discussion on making it a reality. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.